Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John Estrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. Very few ministries are taking the time to prepare Christians for life under the Antichrist, and most teach a fabrication that believers will be taken out in the rapture. It is time for the church to prepare for the future. In this message, Pastor John addresses certain obstacles Satan's Antichrist must remove before he can take over the earth. This involves stripping the Bible from public places and training our children to become future citizens of the Antichrist system. The man of sin won't appear until there is so much chaos in the world that the nations of the earth submit to a more powerful United Nations and its new strong leader. The Antichrist will come to power and follow a timeline of events laid out in the book of Revelation. This isn't the devil's playbook, but God's warning to his church so that we will know what to expect in the end times. This message is entitled, Preparing for Life Under the Antichrist. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on March 20th, 2011. And today, I'm going to be sharing a message with you, how to preparing for life under the Antichrist. This is not a subject that I thought, you know, what do I do now? I don't roll dice over the week. I don't just go, you know, what do I preach on? I ask the Lord, and he is the one to give me the messages. And so this message is going to be a little bit on the downside. But we need to know the truth in order to survive in the future. Now, in reading the Bible, I am convinced that there's not going to be a rapture. I went through that with you before. We have it in the series Facing the Antichrist and in sermon number 1264. I discussed that. Now, if there is a rapture, if I'm wrong, I am not going to be mad. I'm going to say, well, what a nice surprise, Lord. I take my flight. But if there is not a rapture, and God has warned us in the Bible it's coming, would I do justice to you if I give you a false hope and then you find out that it is not true? This week, we're going to pray about this later on. I got a phone call from a friend of this ministry. He's supporting us for many years. And I was very surprised. And the man said, I'm at the hospital. I said, oh, okay. He said, I'm going to have surgery tomorrow. Can you come and visit me? I will take some elders with you and anoint me with oil because I'm not well. I said, yes, we'll be there after the Bible study Thursday night. So about eight of us went down. And this man is only about 45 years old. And has a family, devoted Christian. And for the last 3 months, he's had headaches, bad headaches. Couldn't sleep. Really had pain. But he didn't take any action on it. He simply just went along until he came to the place where he collapsed. So they took him in the hospital. They did an MRI on him, and they found out that he had a tumor on the brain. And so what I'm saying to you is this. Now, when the doctors came out to him and said, you have a brain tumor, the doctor didn't give him a brain tumor. He didn't get the brain tumor with him. He's had it for some time. It was just discovered. The same thing it is with the coming of the Antichrist. It's going to be there. We have signs that we can look at, and we will do well to prepare mentally and spiritually for this. Now, the devil has to overcome some obstacles in order to bring in his government. And we're going to start in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 5. Now, the first obstacle that Satan had to remove, I'm talking now basically about the United States, because the nations in Europe, they went down a drain a long time ago. But the United States has been the last holdout. England used to be a place of revival 100 years ago. England today is a wasteland. Germany, a wasteland. France, a wasteland. Matter of fact, all of Europe, Christianity is just about wiped off the map. Very weak. And Satan is very strong. The first thing that Satan wanted to remove from the United States was public prayer and Bible reading in the public schools. Now, this is not the first time that Satan has proposed this. In Daniel 6, verse number 5, we read this. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save, O you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, think about this. Up to 1950, the Bible would lay on a desk just about in every schoolroom in the United States. Many teachers would start the day by praying. They would start the day by reading the Bible. Now, remember, I was born in Sweden, so I was raised in a different environment. But I remember when I was first in I would say probably the first 3 years before they changed it, that in every classroom was a little pump organ. I don't know how you had it here, but that's what they had in Sweden. And just about every teacher knew how to play that pump organ. And every morning, we started out by singing a hymn. And then there would be some Bible reading, and the teacher would lead in prayer, and then the school day would begin. Let me ask you this. What's wrong with that? What harm would that do? What harm would it do if you teach the children the Ten Commandments? If you teach them to love, what harm would that do? Well, Satan said that obstacle must be removed. Was he successful? Well, in 1962, a court ordered that prayer in public schools is forbidden. Children can pray, But they have a difficult time to do so. They discourage them. So now we had prayer removed and Bible reading from the school. Let me take you now to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. And we pick it up here in verse number 5. I want to show you now how important it is to educate children in the Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. They shall be as frontlet between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. And it shall be, when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land which you swear unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, to give you great and godly cities which you build not. And the house is full of good things which you fill not, and wells digged, which you did dig not, vineyards and olive trees which you planted not, when you shall have eaten and be full. Beware that lest you forget the Lord which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God knew how important education is. What are our children learning today in public schools? Well, first of all, they are learning this, that there is all kind of religions. So they simply tell them this, there is not one particular religion. You have Muslims, Buddhists, Christians, you name it. And so children are told, you have to be tolerant. The second thing they taught is that homosexuality is a different lifestyle. And homosexuals are born homosexuals, cannot help it. And therefore, they cannot discriminate, and they are encouraging children to simply pursue thinking, are you a homosexual? If you are, you need freedom. Then they teach them, you know, it is not bad to have sex. They don't teach them abstinence anymore. They simply said you have to have safe sex. So they show them how to use condoms. They teach them how to do things. And with children having this type of education, what is the result? What is going to be like you go down to the Sacramento Zoo and you watch the monkeys? Now, you know, when the monkeys want to do what the monkeys do, they do it openly. I mean, they're not ashamed, you know. They feel, well, hey, you know, we're going to do something here. And people look at it and says, well, that's kind of cute. That's how people are. We become like in a barnyard. And we wonder, how did we get there? It was a very slippery, slow slope. It started in public schools. Now, these are the people now. They are now 20, 30, 40 years old. So let's say that you got into trouble and you go to court. Well, who's going to be in the jury box? You could have 12 people that are raised without God, that are raised with the devil, so to say, and they're not going to give you any justice. Who are your doctors going to be? Your nurses? Well, these are the people that are going to be running. Matter of fact, they are running right now hospitals. And they are running our nursing homes. And, you know, they don't have a lot of compassion because they've been told, you know, hey, live and let live. Let me take it to Judges right now. Judges, the second chapter. That's Judges, the second chapter. Now, I was not here when they took out the Bible out of school, but I'm asking this, where were the pastors? Where were the churches? In Judges 2, verse number 6, we read this. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of the inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim. Notice now, there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord. People 50 years and under today, that's the generation that do not know the Lord. There'll be a few people sprinkled here and there that have been in churches. But I would say that 90% of the American population 50 years and under were raised without the Bible, without prayer, and they do not know the Lord. They have tattoos on them all over the place. They play their ungodly music. They had their own philosophy. And they are the ones that are going to be voting. And those are the politicians are coming out of that generation. Listen, Satan has greased the road and removed obstacles. Here's some statistic for you. Prayer was effectively removed from public schools by a court order in 1962. Why didn't anyone stand up? Bible reading by teachers was also removed from public schools by a court order in 1963. Now, in 1973, the Supreme Court opened a gate for abortion or killing the babies. Right now, 60 million Americans are dead since 1973. That's how many children we have killed. 60 million. In 1980, the courts decided that the Ten Commandments could no longer be displayed in public schools. The Ten Commandments are dangerous. They are dangerous to the devil. Where are the churches? Where have you been? Why haven't we said anything about it? You know, now we're paying the paper. Let's talk about homeschooling. And I try to read this so I'll be precise. Homeschooling is illegal in Germany. You cannot homeschool in Germany. This law dates back to Nazi Germany. Those are a little bit older. In 1945, after Germany was smashed, the United States came in And they had what they called denazification. It was a program where every German had to go to class, I don't know how many hundreds of hours, but every German had to be certified that he'd gone through this school. This is a propaganda school. So he had been deprogrammed. He was denazified. I wonder why they didn't take this law out from Adolf Hitler. In 2003, a case came up to the High Court in Germany, and it was simply ruled that homeschooling is illegal, and you go to prison if you homeschool, and they take your children. The parents took the case to the European Court of Human Rights. Human rights. And that court ruled, no, homeschooling is illegal. Now, the state organization in Germany that enforces this law against homeschoolers is Jugendamt. That organization was formed under the Nazis. And they are still doing the same thing if they find out there's a homeschooler. They usually come in about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, kicking in the doors, coming in with the cops, and simply dragging the children out and putting them in foster care or orphanages, where they suffer immensely. Now, does the German people do anything about this? There are a few people that are fighting homeschooling and fighting for homeschooling in Germany. But you see, most Germans are trained to be secular, materialistic, no Bible reading, no prayer. They simply say, why should we have these religious nuts educating their children? Put them in public school. We want to have a uniform nation. Let's talk about Sweden. You know, I am so upset over that country. This is where I was born. And I simply feel sorry for the Swedish people that have been so dumb, stupid, to go down this road. I mean, we were preaching over there 25, 30 years ago, and the pastors they have over there now, I would not even give a dime for a dozen for them. They are worthless. They don't believe in the Bible. They marry homosexuals in the churches. They allow transvestites to be in the churches. It's a barnyard over there. So now, Satan said, no more homeschooling. January 1st, 2011, it is not a crime to homeschool in Sweden. Now, the Swedish authorities are just as brutal as in Germany. But the Swedish government had gone one extra step. There are private schools, and they simply said every private school must have the same textbook and curriculum as public schools. With other words, no difference. Let's talk about speaking against homosexuals and Jews. Did you know that in the United States, hate laws, matter of fact, in Europe, you have hate laws in a number of nations, and you cannot speak critical. Listen closely now. A hate law is not like this, that you go up and says, okay, you're homosexual, I'm going to kill you. Okay, that's a very bad crime to say that. But here's a crime. If you come up and say homosexuality is a sin, now that's a crime. You go to prison for that in Europe. And over here, you get a lot of trouble. If you preach, the Bible says homosexuality is sin, you go to prison. Now, if you say negative about Jews, you get arrested. That's a hate law against that. Now, you can speak negative about Mormons, Buddhists, Muslims, Christians, everybody. But there's two groups of people you can't speak negative about. Homosexuals and Jews. That is a beginning of the Antichrist clampdown. What can we expect from the Antichrist regime? Now, there will be political changes in the world before the Antichrist can come on the scene. These changes will be made. These changes cannot be made as long as nations are at peace, people have employment, life is good. Instead, a time of chaos must be created, and here are some of the signs. Look at these signs now. Political instability in the Middle East. We are there now. We're trying to contain it in Bahrain, Saudi Arabia. Syria had uprising this week. Of course, we are in Libya. And we're helping them there to overthrow that government. Good or bad. And you have problems in Algeria, Morocco, Egypt, we remember that, Jordan. Instability. I want you to think now. The Middle East is producing about 60% of all oil. Right now, we're getting up close to $4 a gallon for gas here. The world government does not want peace in the Middle East. There's going to be continuing unrest. That's going to be one. Did you notice this? Not as last week. In the Constitution of the United States, it says, who declares war here? Congress. The president cannot declare war. It's made by Congress. We went to war yesterday. Who declared that? The president. Under what authority? The United Nations. One congressman stood up, Ron Paul, and said, this is unconstitutional. So you can see right now that the United States, we are now in a coalition. We are together in this. But our constitution has been violated. I'm not for Gaddafi. But he should have been in the right if we did it. The second thing that's going to take place is a disruption of oil production. Now, when you begin to have shortage of oil, here's what's going to happen. Number one, you're going to have shortage of food, clothing, goods, electricity, because our society is built upon oil. If you look at Japan right now, after the earthquake, the stores were cleaned out. They could not get supplies up. There was no water, no food, no shelter. Just wiped out. Of course, people then simply said, well, we declare an emergency and you take control. The third one, an economical depression with high unemployment. And fourthly, food shortages. Now I want you to remember my words. These four points When you have them all come together, it's like you have a nuclear reactor and you get the too much fuel together and it takes off. When these four points come together, watch for the Antichrist regime to begin its work. At that time, there will be crises around the world. There will be meetings in the United Nations, like we had this week. They're in Paris today, where all heads of state will come and discuss this urgent problem. The consensus will be that such global catastrophic situation can only be solved through a global effort. Consequently, nations must be willing to give up their independence and submit to a stronger United Nations that will in reality become a visible world government. Turn on to Daniel chapter 11. That's Daniel chapter 11. How close to this are we? I don't know. But there are very few stops left. Remember this. There are very few stops left. Here's what I wrote. It is obvious that there must be a peaceable man that will be the head of this newer and stronger United Nations. We have a description of such a man in the Bible. Daniel chapter 11 and verse number 20. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. He'll be wiped out. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall it be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall be strong with a small people. Underline that verse. Now we do know that the Antichrist is going to be Jewish. The Bible tells us. We also know he's going to be a homosexual. The Bible tells us that. Now, who is pushing the Antichrist? The people are doing that are the Kabbalistic Jews that are bringing in their Messiah, the false Messiah. We have about 40 million Jews in the world today. Of these, about 3.5 live in Israel. Of the 14 million Jews, I would say that probably 95% have not any clue that was going on. Just like in America. You and I, we don't know what goes on in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. We don't know what's going on. We're just dummies. They tell us to vote, we vote. They tell us to pay your taxes, we pay our taxes. They tell us to stand up, we stand up. And they say sit down, we sit down. It is with a very small group of people that this man will come on the scene. Now let me ask you these questions. And you answer them yourself. And I'm not saying because I'm anti-Semitic. I'm just bringing out some things. If we look upon the world as a whole, what kind of nationality are the people that are running the banking systems in the world? You don't have to answer me. Who are the, what kind of nationality are the people that are running Hollywood. What kind of nationality are the people that are running the media, television, and the newspapers and the publishing houses? You find that there is a small group of a certain nationality that are in control of all these organizations that are forming public opinion. And they also forming political changes. What I just told you now is dangerous. That's anti-Semitic. You can't say that. But it's true. Now, point number three. In time, this man will do what Adolf Hitler did after he was appointed chancellor in 1933, when he methodically abolished political parties and laws until he became the dictator known as the Führer. The man is going to take over the United Nations in this crisis situation. He's going to be heralded as a man that knows economics. He knows military things. He's a political savvy. And they're simply going to say that this man has been very, very successful in business, politics, and we're going to put everything into this man's hand to get us out of the crisis of instability in the Middle East, get the oil back running, get the unemployment out, get the depression away, and bring food on the table again. He will take that. Now I want you to watch the French president. The French president is a Hungarian Jew. His dad fled from Hungary and lived in France, became a French citizen. And the president we have right now is Jewish. He's a French Jew, or Hungarian Jew, whatever type of Jew he is. Notice now, when we came to Libya, by the way, this guy, he has an ego second to none. He got on television, he's a short little fellow, he stood up and said, France is going in first. And he sent his fighter planes in first. Is that man capable of maybe being a man like leading the United Nations? We don't know. But to be a man similar to that, proud, boastful, shrewd, without any type of morality. This man, as he was going to be elected president of France, decided he needed a younger woman. So he dumped his wife that had been with him for years, helped him out, and he picked up a whore from Italy, and that she is now First Lady of France. Now, when this man is in the United Nations, he's going to come and say this, he's going to go to the Security Council, he's going to go and say this, I need more power. I cannot solve this in Africa. I need to have power that I can crush the rebellion. So they give him more power. I need more power, there's more power over that. And eventually, he will simply be that man that's going to be called the Antichrist. It's going to be so slick that people are not going to understand who he is. The churches in the United States are going to say, well, look what this man has done. He brought peace to the Middle East. He got the oil flowing again. Prices are down. Unemployment is down. And we have food again in our stores. He must be of God. Do you realize, if you know your history, that in 1933, when Adolf Hitler took power in Germany, They had very high unemployment. They had very little food. The country was in a mess. In less than 2 years, he started building the autobahns. He started building all kind of things. And 4 years after he took power, the Germans had got so much money, the German people, that they had cruise ships going all over the world with German workers. They were prosperous. 37, 38, 39, they were prosperous. 45, they lived on a gravel hill. Everything destroyed. When the Antichrist comes in, he's going to bring prosperity. Turn on to Revelation 13. That's Revelation chapter 13. I've got to pick up speed here now. Revelation chapter 13. Now, this is what Jesus wrote. If there's going to be a rapture, if this is not important, why did we get the book of Revelation? And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast, or a man, rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, as fast. His feet were as the feet of a bear that's crushing. His mouth is the mouth of a lion, devouring. And the dragon, Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, this man will have supernatural powers. Now, in order, in point number four, in order to streamline his administration, the Antichrist will order that all religions be fused together and a new doctrine for them all. Let me explain that to you. I want you to hear this now. They're not going to take Roman Catholic doctrine and merge it with Protestant doctrine and then merge in some Buddhist thinking and some Islamic thinking. They're simply going to tell this to every religious head. Drop your doctrine. Drop it. We're going to have a new doctrine. We are going to worship Lucifer. It's going to be a new doctrine. The Muslims will no longer be Muslims. The Buddhists will no longer be Buddhist. They're going to be Luciferian. Let's read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Have you picked it up in verse number 3? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above God, himself by all that is called God, all that he is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is not God's temple, but there is going to be a temple in Jerusalem. This week, if you caught things, there was a Jewish family murdered. Think about 5 or 6 people. They were stabbed to death. And they blamed on the Palestinians. And most likely they were the ones that doing it, did it. But how was the response? The Prime Minister of Israel said, because of this heinous crime, we're going to increase 100-fold new settlements. That was their excuse. They're going to build a temple someday. And this man from the United Nations is going to go there and sit down and say, I am God. Verse 5. Remember you not, when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Let's talk about Obama for a few moments. Now, if we're going to go to war as a nation, you don't want to tell the enemy what you're going to do. And if you listen to him several times this week, the last 2 or 3 days, he said this, he was very strong. He said, Gaddafi, we're going to do this and this and that. But there would be no ground troops. There would be no ground troops. What do you tell Gaddafi? Don't worry. I'm not going to put on their boots on the ground. I'm just going to bomb you a little bit. But don't worry, there are going to be no ground troops. No wonder he's defiant. He only is told how they're going to play it. Another sacrifice. Deception. I read verse number 10 now. And with all deceivableness are enlighten them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Today, people don't want to know the truth. If you tell people that Jesus Christ is the only way, they say, that's not truth. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. There's going to be a deception. And you're going to hear people say this, you know, well, I like our Constitution, but you know what? If this man at the United Nations can give us the peace we want, why not surrender our sovereignty? Remember the generation, 50 years and under. No Bible reading, no prayer, no morality. They don't care about the United States. They are selfish. That's how they are raised. Point number 5. All churches will be ordered to register with the world government. And every pastor and church leader will be asked to swear allegiance to the Antichrist. Now, this is something that's not pointed out in American history books. But when Adolf Hitler took power, about 1935, he simply made a decree. And if a pastor, Lutherans, Pentecostals, Baptists, if they wanted to survive, they had to take an allegiance to the Führer. 95% of the German pastors did. I would say that 99% of the American pastors will swear allegiance to the beast. You know who's going to lead them? Rick Warren. He's going to simply say, hey, line up. This is the greatest thing since we had sliced bread. All Bibles will be destroyed. Now, Satan began Bible destruction. And you know how he did that? He didn't say, burn your Bibles. He said, I will print you. I got new Bibles for you. New American Version, the NIV, the NIV Revised, Today's English Bible, The Message, you name it, it's all floating out there. These are bastard Bibles that have been simply destroyed. And secondly, you can read as much as you want. That's okay. Because I fixed them. Faith in Jesus Christ. If you say, I only believe in salvation through Jesus Christ, you go to prison. Parents who refuse to give up their faith in Jesus Christ will have their children removed, and they will lose their jobs and possessions. Now turn to Revelation 13:5. Now I'm sorry I'm giving you a very gloomy future, but I want to say this to you. This is just a short interlude. Jesus is coming back after that. Satan will have a few years, but his day is coming. But we need to learn that because we got to go through this period. Revelation 13, we read now from verse number 5. And it was given to him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the father of Jesus Christ, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and then that dwell in heaven. Look upon the commentators on television, radio, newspapers. They blaspheme God. They hate God. And it was given to him to make war with the saints. Notice now. It was given to him to make war with the saints. If we are raptured, who are these saints? To overcome them, power was given to him of all kindreds and tongues and nations. This will be a terrible time on earth. And only those of us that have been born again will be able to survive. Look what he says in verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain for the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Now, if your name is written in the book of life, you will have power to stand. But if you're living in a backsliding condition, if you're told that the mark of the beast is nothing, you take the mark of the beast. And if you do, you're not going to make it. Once the Antichrist, point 7 there, has been able to take control of all religions and reform them into Satan worship, he will move to take economic control of every human on the earth. The false prophet will perform supernatural stunts that will scare people into submission so they are willing to surrender their finances. Revelation 13:11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, that's another man. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. And he causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Earthquakes, disasters, forcing people to line up, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had a mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, when that come into order, there will be destruction. Taking the mark of the beast means that you first got to take an allegiance. In the Soviet Union, only about 5 million Russians were members of the Communist Party. The majority were not. And to be a member of the Communist Party, you had to take an allegiance. If you went to Hitler Germany, there was only a few million people that were members of the Nazi Party. Most of them were not. And when they come to take the mark of the beast, they're going to simply say this, that before you take the mark of the beast, you got to give allegiance. You got to swear that you will worship this man and his God, Lucifer. That's why God is so upset with the mark of the beast. It is more than a mark. There's going to be an enormous pressure on the Christians who are left because we will be homeless. With no place to go. On the other hand, if you take the mark of the beast, you will lose your salvation and be forever damned to spend eternity in the lake of fire. To turn to Revelation 14:9. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead and his hand, the same shall drink out of wine out of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment ascends up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever received the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the command of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that ye may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, if you are going to be alive at that time, here's what you're going to face. They're going to say to you, it's time for you to make up your mind. Are you going to take the mark or not? If you say no, they say, fine. Just take off. You will not have your home. They take your home away from you. They take away any vehicles. You cannot work. You cannot go to the hospital. You cannot buy anything in the store. You cannot get any medication. If you get sick or your children get sick, you cannot take it to the doctor. You are absolutely cast out with absolutely no support. If you are alive at that time, think about it. If this will be right now, it's raining outside, cold, and you would simply say this, just leave your car keys, leave your wallet, and just walk out in the rain. Where are you going to eat tomorrow? Where are you going to live? Where are you going to sleep? We don't know. How many of you would say, I will not take the mark? You think about that. How are you going to survive supernaturally? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. That's 1 Kings chapter 17. There's going to be one way to survive. Not in a flash. And some people say, well, we're going to build a cave up in the mountains. We're going to do this and that. They find you. If you have supplies, they run out. 1 Kings chapter 17, and I'll pick it up in verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was an inhabitant of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get your hands, turn you eastward, hide yourself by the brook Cherith, this before Jordan. It shall be that you shall drink at a brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now we've read that. This is a true story. God is still in charge of the birds. He's still in charge. God can have us to go to a place where he will sustain us. In Sacramento, we have homeless people. About 400 or 500 of them, maybe more. And you know, they moved from place to place along the American River complex. And the police is there and chase them off. You can't live here. You know, they pick up the tents and stuff and go to another place. They chase them off there. They're constantly harassing them. What else is going to be? But you see, at the same time, we're supernaturally. We don't have to be in the city. We can be out someplace. And God can simply have birds coming every day with breakfast in the morning and dinner at nighttime. Supernaturally. But if you are not living in the supernatural now, if you cannot trust God for your finances, if you cannot trust God for your health, for your job, whatever it is, and you are always anxious, you will not survive. This is the time to move into the supernatural. Now, eventually the brook dried up. And God sent him to a widow. And let's pick up in verse 11 very quickly. And as she was going to fetch it, he called for her and said, "Bring me, I pray you, a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we might eat it and die." That was the faith of this widow. And Elijah said to her, "Fear not, go and do as you have said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and I have to make for you and for your son. For thus is the Lord God of Israel, the barrel a meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sent rain upon the earth." Notice now that this widow had to have faith. She had not seen the miracle yet. And Elijah said, "Bake me a cake, give me to eat, and then you will have the miracle." You and I got to exercise faith before we see the victory. Verse 15. "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he in her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." Now, I want you to think about this now. You need to begin to prepare yourself spiritually. Because I tell you this, just as quick as you saw the earthquake in Japan come on the scene, and then the crisis in Libya, I tell you what, the world government can stir up trouble in less than 2 or 3 days. And when it comes, it will be quick. It will not be time for you to say, "Oh God, the time is here. I got to start reading the Bible. I got to read the Bible. Oh God, I got to read this. I got to pray. I got to be spiritual. Oh God." Forget it. This is a time to prepare. How long will the reign of the Antichrist last? Now, the majority of Bible scholars believe it will be 7 years. But this is not found in the Bible. We only have one reference, and the Bible says it will be for 1 hour. Turn quickly to Revelation 17:12. That's Revelation 17:12. Revelation 17, verse number 12. You read this. "And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast." 1 hour. Antichrist going to rule 1 hour. "These are one mind, should give the power and strength of the beast." Now, if you look upon the diagram we have in the outline, We're using 2 Peter 3:8 that says, a thousand years with the Lord is like one day, and one day like a thousand years. 1 hour with God is 41.67 human years. 1 minute with God is 8 months and 8 days for man. 1 second for God is 3 days and 22 hours for us. Now is the time to prepare. Turn to Romans 8. That's Romans chapter 8. Here's how I feel about it. If it happens, it's going to happen. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to be here. But God will take care of us. Romans 8, 5. Look at these verses. For they that after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that after the spirit do things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you, now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead should also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. And then go down to verse 14. For as men are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I believe that God is going to have some of us survive the time of the Antichrist. Christians survived in the Soviet Union. Christians survived in Nazi Germany. Christians are surviving in communist China. Christians will survive. But it's going to be a supernatural event. You and I can simply not live in the flesh. And this is what I said here. I'm sorry, I went a bit longer today. If you cannot say no to vices like smoking, drinking, drugs, pornography, then you're not going to be able to say no to the Antichrist system. Make up your mind and choose who you will serve. And I finish here my scripture with Romans 6. That's Romans chapter 6. And you read verses 12 through 16. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive for the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then shall be sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves slaves or servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You need to exercise spiritually. A few weeks ago I was sick. I had some kind of a flu. And for about 3 weeks, actually 4 weeks, I didn't go to the gym. Normally I go to the gym every week. And for about 4 weeks, I didn't go to the gym. Had germs in my body, messed me up. And the first day when I went back to the gym, my brain says, put that weight down, lift it, and my body said, ugh. The muscles were not there. 4 weeks, I just went down like this. You got to exercise your spirit daily. Daily. How do you exercise it? Reading the Bible, praying, meditating, and then saying no to sin. That's how you do it. I give you here a historical review, and I'm not going to read that right now. I'll let you read it by yourself. But just a couple of highlights in here. Credit cards, introduced in 1951. I'm showing the progression of the Antichrist system there. The magnetic strip on the back of credit cards did not show up until 1970. The smart card in 1977. ATM bank cards introduced in 1984. If you notice now, a creeping. Cash today is very little. You use very little cash. And as I was working with this with Charles, I said, you know, that big denominational bills, they're hard to get. He says, well, that's nothing bigger than a $100 bill. I said, yes, there is. There's a $500 bill. He said, I don't believe you. He Googled it. Sure enough, there's a $500 bill showing up. He said, okay, I didn't know that. I said, there's a $1,000 bill. So he looked that up. Sure enough, we have a $1,000 bill. I said, there's a $10,000 bill out there. He looked that up. I'm stretching him now. I said, there's a $50,000 bill out there. I never had a $50,000 bill. I wish I had. It exists. They used it. And there is a $100,000 bill. These were the monies used prior to the credit cards. When people were honest, you didn't have to have $100 bills in suitcases because of the drug running. And you can go in with a $10,000 bill and they will not look at you and say, what planet do you come from? Cash is going to decrease. Right now, they want direct deposit, pay your bills online, you know, do everything because cash cannot be traced. If you pay cash, they don't know what you buy. You're not in the system. I'll let you read the historic review. Remember this now. It is not so important how you begin your life. What is important is how you finish. Do you understand now that if you start out as an on fire Christian and later on you take the mark of the beast, it doesn't matter what you did. You need to finish strong. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, this is an ugly sermon I preached, Lord. But Father God is in the Word. And Lord, I'm not looking forward to the Antichrist. I'm looking forward to the coming of Jesus. But we got to get this bad dude first before we got you, Lord. So Father God, I just pray right now that people will think what I share with them today. They would see what time it is. They would see how things are really connected. It is just a matter of time before it comes into being. Prepare us, Lord. Those that listen to me today that are not saved, I pray for salvation for them. Let them cry out today and say, oh, God, save me. I'm repenting of my sin. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, come on in and save me. And if you do that today, he will save you. And to those of you that are backslidden, lukewarm, today is a good day to rededicate your life. To simply say, my Heavenly Father, I want to rededicate my life. I want to burn out all the dross, everything that is not good. And my Heavenly Father, help me to begin today to live in the supernatural. I thank you, I praise you, and I bless you, my Heavenly Father, right now for touching your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The altars are open here. The elders are here, deaconess. You come. If you want to be prayed for today, if you have been sick, you want to be anointed with oil, you want to rededicate your life, you want more power, whatever it is, you come. And if you're watching us, call us, write us. But most of all, where you are, kneel down or pray. And simply say, Jesus, help me. I rededicate my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, Know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled, Preparing for Life Under the Antichrist. Pastor John addressed certain obstacles Satan's Antichrist must remove before he can take over the earth, such as stripping the Bible from public places and training our children to become future citizens of the Antichrist system. Chaos must be artificially created, and even now we see the truth of Jesus' warning. In Matthew chapter 24, the man of sin won't appear until there is so much chaos in the world that the nations of the earth submit to a more powerful United Nations and its new strong leader. The book of Revelation is God's warning to His church, so that way we will know what to expect in the end times. There is no way we can physically prepare for this time period, but we can prepare ourselves spiritually so that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1282. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.